Blog Talk Radio.
Strong. Hopefully y'all can hear me. My phone's cutting in and out here. 347-215-6357 is the guest calling number. Hopefully we'll have some time for a call at some point tonight. Tonight's a really special night. We got somebody who's very influential, musically at least, for me, and wanted to give him a tribute tonight. Also have a couple other shout-outs. We have some songs that some people wanted to hear. Once again, 347-215-6357, guest call-in number. And let me do say this real quick as I turn off Grand Funk Railroad. Had a chat with Miss Katie over there at Blog Talk Radio. And looks like things are moving in the right direction as far as trying to get a different guest call-in number. It used to be, as you know, 646-378-1221, the golden call-in number has now died, unfortunately. Scott entered the cyberspace abyss. Why? Because Blog Talk Radio decided to change phone companies, phone carriers, and I lost my number. And so did thousands of other hosts and their shows. They lost their guest call-in numbers. So once again, I'm going to say it again. This could change, folks. Write it down, put a star next to it, and say, possibly temporary. 347-215-6357. You know, I guess it's not as bad as I thought it was. I know I was hemming and hawing about it a couple of days ago on the last episode, and you know, even probably the episode before that. I think that's when it changed. But we will prevail. We will carry on. We will march forward. We're going to get to Peter Steele in a second. I'm going to read you a little bit of his bio off of the web. But we're going to real quick do a shout out to Miss Texas Summer Breeze down in Austin, Texas. She has a request here for a Stevie Ray Vaughan track called Change It. And you know, what's very funny about this song is that this is one of my least favorite Stevie Ray Vaughan songs up until about a year or two ago. I didn't really understand it. I didn't get it. I don't know. It just wasn't my thing. Now I really enjoy it. So dedicated to this Texas out there down in Austin, Texas. Not the birthplace of Stevie Ray Vaughan. He was originally from Oak Cliff, but after his brother Jimmy Vaughan moved out of the house with one of the bands, I think it was Cobra or something like that. I think that was Stevie Ray Vaughan's band. Anyway, the band before the Thunderbirds, Jimmy moved out, and Stevie wanted to be just like Jimmy, and he, you know, was dragging his guitar around and doing the whole circuit thing, big brother, little brother thing. And what ended up happening was Stevie ended up in Austin, Texas, around the age 17, 18. I'm going by this off of memory, folks. I'm not really reading it off of anything, just going off of, you know, I'm a huge Stevie buff. So anyway, that's what happened. Played the clubs there, eventually ran into the guys who collectively created Double Trouble, Chris Layton, Tommy Shannon. Although those were not the original players that Stevie played with, they did have a huge influence on him and were with him until the day of his death, unfortunately. August 27th, 1990. And this is SRV Change It, featuring Reese Wilands on keys, Chris Layton on drums, Tommy Shannon on the bass, and Stevie Ray Vaughan on the Fender guitar and vocals. Here we go, Change It.
Okay. Stingray Bomb, Change It. Great track. Rock Blues, new show. Hopefully you all can hear me. I switched over to my Bluetooth piece. Possibly if Texas Summer Breeze is listening, she can email me and let me know whether this is working or not. 347-215-6357. Guest call and number for the Rock Blues News Show. The number is susceptible to be changed or susceptible to change. Yeah. Moving on. And for a more serious note, let me first say that this guy is definitely an interesting character. God definitely threw away the mold when he made him. His name's Peter Steele. Some of you might know him as the lead singer, bassist for Typo Negative, and they co-wrote together. But this is, we're focused on Peter Steele because of his birthday is today. He's born today, January 4th in 1962, and born in Brooklyn, grew up in New York playing the clubs in New York, fell in love with Black Sabbath and a bunch of other forefront hard rock, metal groups, Deep Purple, a lot of influence from those bands. And he actually grew up playing this music, and then he ended up actually working for the New York City Department of Parks and Recreation up until he started touring with Typo Negative in 1994. And he was active as a musician from 79 until 2010, when unfortunately he passed away from heart failure. And the reason why that's pretty much the case, if you know Peter Steele, he, you know, like a lot of incredible geniuses out there and just artists who are off the charts creatively, substance abuse got the best of him for quite a while, but it's actually kind of the same story as Stevie Ray Vaughan and Sam Kinison. When we look at some of the greats in entertainment history, in art, in music, you know, Sam Kinison was a comedian, but nonetheless, battled with drugs, battled with alcohol for quite some time. And just when these guys figured it out and were able to sober up for a little bit, couple of years, unfortunately, it was their time up here on Earth. And let me just say that I'm gonna play a couple of selections here from Typo Negative. That was pretty much Peter's baby, and he has a lot to say as an instrumentalist, as a lyricist. And let me preface it by saying that if you're not into the metal scene, give this a shot. Give this a listen. I know that metal has this connotation of being very dark, which it usually is. Kind of has this satanic connotation, which, once again, very true. What I'm asking you to do as a listener is to kind of bypass that, because I have to bypass that myself as a believer in Christ and everything, and that's kind of my gig. I know the devil very well, dealt with his schemes and his prowling as a lion, but not to get into the, you know, not to go down that rabbit hole, let me just say, kind of take that out of it. This is a guy who obviously dealt with a lot of demons in his life. What's really, really interesting to me is that he was able to overcome it. He'd actually found God later in his life I think he always was he always was a believer and everything. But what ended up happening was he just, you know, got involved with the tour life and one thing after another. And it's very easy to fall into that trap of substance abuse and relying on that. So we're all human. But what really strikes me about Peter is the fact that his honesty is just so pure in his music. Whether you want it to be or not, whether what he's saying is what you want to hear. I'm picking tracks that are pretty middle-of-the-road, G-rated for the case of this show. If you are into Peter Steele, if you're into Type O Negative, I encourage you to go check them out on your own. In this case, I'm just going to play stuff that I really believe showcases his ability as a bassist, lyricist, singer, and songwriter. The first cut I'd like to play is a song that he actually wrote about himself, and it's not in a pretentious manner at all. It's actually out of admiration. He dealt with a lot of depression. He dealt with a lot of, dark things. But this is one song that he wrote about himself at some point. And looks like the audio is still processing here. Looks like I ran into a little bit of a technical difficulty. Let me see if I have something else from that's already buffered in. For some reason, I might have to give me 1 second, folks. I'm going to try and I'm just going to try and fix the problem here. It's basically the MP3s did not load up in time, which I thought they did. So give me 1 second here. And hopefully we're that's not going to do it. Okay, that's not good. So let me see what I can do here. Is there anything else? Okay, well, this is the only song that I have available right now. I'm afraid that the problem is I'm afraid to refresh the page. So I guess I'm not going to be able to do that because that might take me off the air. So let me do a little research here. This was not the song I wanted to play first, but I guess we're going to play it first. That's just how it goes on the live Blog Talk Radio scheme of things, lack of a better term. For definitely lack of a better term. This has got me all frazzled here. This is a song off of World Coming Down, the album with the Brooklyn Bridge on the front. Type O Negative. Title is called Everything Dies, and it's just a very honest song, and the lyric is very true. So here we go. Peter Steele, happy birthday, brother, and here we go.
Oh, my uncle Lou. Then he died. I'm searching for something which can't be found, but I'm hoping I still dream of Jack. Though he died, everything dies.
We'll be right back. So, type on negative here. That track is Everything Dies off of the World Coming Down album. 347-215-6357. Folks, having a lot of technical difficulties over here. I'm trying to, hopefully you can hear me, number one. Trying to upload another track. I had four queued up, and for some reason, they are just not processing on my audio clips section here. So give this another couple of minutes. Might go to another cut real quick. It's just not moving anywhere. Like I said, I'm afraid to refresh because that might take me completely off the air, and that would definitely put a damper on the evening. Well, at least for me it would. Remember, 347-215-6357 could be a temporary number. Nonetheless, we are moving forward. You know what? So I'll have to kind of do a false summation of what's going on here, because I might just have to carry this over until tomorrow or 2 days from now. This is just hellacious. This is just unbelievable. It's one thing after another here at Blog Talk Radio, but this is life. Like the song says, everything dies. It's true. The spirits live on. The music lives on. Actually, that's one thing that I find pretty interesting about, his music, is that, and like anybody else that passes away who's really made a huge impact on the world artistically or creatively, independently, whatever it is, patriotism or whatever the case may be, what they did lives on. What we do lives on. It's very simple, for lack of a better way of saying it. That's literally what it is. So everything dies, including you, Pete, but you are still here with us through your music, which is awesome because I really enjoy it and the work that you've done with the band. So now, this is not processing here. Real off the cuff right now, which is fine. It's kind of the same situation as my amp turning off when I'm on stage for no apparent reason. Actually, let me talk about that real quick, and then we'll get to another cut here and bring up some outrageous news for you here on the Rock Blues News Show. Jason D'Amico here, classic rock, classic blues, and outrageous news. You're playing on stage. Actually, recently, many times, and my fellow New Blue veterans can attest to this. I don't know. The last couple of months, I've been having this. It seems like I can't find the source of the. There's multiple issues going on when I'm on stage, but I just can't figure out what it is. The amp jack isn't working properly. The pedal board jack isn't working properly. The guitar input jack isn't working properly. The wireless will cut out. The batteries will die before their time. The jack on the distortion pedal. I mean, it's just one thing after another. Actually, that brings me to a point that I wanted to talk about briefly. I'm like all over the board, all over the road with this episode. Really, really throwing me for a loop here. This actually is probably just as bad as the Van Halen incident, where I got erroneous information. I know I keep talking about it. It was just very traumatic for me because I really, really, really had the ultimate set list, playlist, in this sense, but the ultimate playlist for the king himself, Mr. Edward Van Halen. And it wasn't even his birthday. This is very similar. Well, we got the day right. Now the MP3s just won't load. So, You know, it's always something here. So, okay, we're going to go to we're going to go over. I actually wanted to talk about Stevie's gear real quick. Stevie Ray Vaughan has nothing to do with Peter Steele. It's fine. We're going to talk about it anyway. Used a variety of amps on stage, and let me just say that Stevie's probably the most influential guitar player for me personally. Not that matters to you, the listener, but just so you know that I do have a very biased opinion on Stevie's sound. I truly believe he had some of the best guitar tone in the world, the artist world, the guitar playing, guitar slinger world. It's absolutely insane, absolutely incredible. Let me start real quick with just kind of from the guitar out to the amps. Used very, very heavy gauge strings, anywhere from 13 to 58. He toned it down from to 11. I stopped using the 13, and it doesn't really matter because all the other strings are so huge. So, but anyway, I believe it was, like the Texas Flood album, I'm actually going to play you Little Wayne Coming Up, which is basically the song that made me want to strive to play guitar instead of just playing power chords. I really wanted to get into the blues and everything, his interpretation on Hendrix. But he played with 13, 15, 19, 28, 38, 58 string gauge. For those of you who aren't guitar players, that's okay. Just know that what Stevie did, it's basically you're in the gym. You know, the average person's, I don't know, curling a 25-pound weight on their, you know, for their biceps. You know, Stevie's over there curling a 35 or a 40 and is the same size as you, basically. To get also to some other guitar facts about what he played. Jumbo frets on the guitar. Not sure what pickups he used. I think they were 59s. And his number one guitar, you know, the number, he called it number one. That was a 59 Strat. He thought it was is it a 63? I have to do some research on that. Can't remember. I'm throwing this stuff all at you from what I've heard and read over the years. Once again, big Stevie buff over here. Anyway, you know, basically big strings, big sound, very Hendrix influence, very Albert King influence, Lightning Hopkins, all those guys influenced him heavily. Buddy Guy, you name it, they influenced him. Real, real classic blues player. On this cut, especially when he went down, the story is, as you know, some of you may know, Stevie played on the Let's Dance track on David Bowie's album. I believe the album was Let's Dance. Could be wrong about that, but I believe it is. And played a solo on towards the end of that track. David Bowie really, really admired his playing. And once again, this is all by memory here, quoted that he was the best urban blues player that he'd ever heard. And subsequently, what happened after that was he gave Stevie some time at John Hammond's studio in California. Could have been Los Angeles. I know it's California. And that's when they cut Texas Flood in 1982, 1983. It was released in 83. And what ended up happening was that was the first time that Stevie, I think, played through a Dumble 150-watt clean head, which is actually a steel slinger head. So you're supposed to use it for steel guitar, pedal steel. Stevie used it as his clean amp, and then he used Vibraverbs, Fender Vibraverbs, 30 watts each, 15-inch cones, you know. That is the sound you will be listening here. In my opinion, this was his best tone. He also used some Marshalls, JCM 800s, Marshall Majors, which are 200 watts, very, very big amp. That's a large amp, you know. You think Hendrix when you hear that, John Frusciante when you hear that, Clapton, Jack Bruce, that type of sound, considering the Marshall Major.
Angus Young, you know, that type of thing. But Stevie really made it sang in his own unique way. So before my head explodes from talking so much and before your ears just explode from me talking so much, here we go. Stevie Ray Vaughan, Little Wayne. I know we played two Stevie Ray Vaughan tracks tonight, but it, you know, it's just so hard not to. Man was a genius, a real, real legend. I know tonight was dedicated to Peter Steele, Typo Negative, but unfortunately, my audio clips section of my soundboard here, switchboard, is just not functioning properly. 347-215-6357 is the guest call-in number, and found this insane story here, and unbelievable. Man with knife in skull for hours wasn't aware of it. I'm not making this up. Once again, HuffingtonPost.com. They're just nuts. I don't know how they come up with all these things, but it's true. Brazilian taxi driver got into a bar brawl. Say that 10 times fast. He didn't know when the fight actually came to a head. His head. I don't know how to pronounce this. Okay, we're just going to call him Oliveira because it's his last name. 39 years old. Oliveira. Stabbed during the argument, took more than 3 hours before he realized there was a blade running through his skull all the way down to his jawbone. Once he realized, what is this? Stabbed four times, three times in the torso, one which punctured the lung, once in the head. He was driven to a nearby hospital and transferred to an emergency facility in Teresina, which is 62 miles away. Dr. Albuquerque says he had the knife lodged in his head for this whole period, but he was not aware of it. We believe the shock and a bit of the drinking may have helped him not to understand the knife was still in his head. Understand. I don't know about understand. Maybe realize the knife was still in it. I mean, come on. X-ray photos released by the military. This is actually, not to get sidetracked here, but this is actually kind of just as bizarre and ridiculous as the guy whose turn signal was lodged in his arm 7 inches long and was in there for 50 years until he realized it, and then they actually, you know, they did the surgery and got it out. This is, and that was in the last episode, I believe. This is must be this universal thing right now. X-ray photos released by the military to CNN and Globo show the knife protruding from behind his left eye. They actually, I'm going to send you a link here on Twitter. I'm going to post this up. The doctor said the knife stopped only when it struck the victim's lower jaw, and that Oliveira is lucky to be alive. I mean, you're not kidding. He's lucky to be alive. It's just ridiculous. It's unbelievable to me. The surgery took 2.5 hours, and Oliveira reportedly walked out of the hospital 5 days later. Dr. Albuquerque continues saying the knife crossed his head just behind the optical nerve, got very close to the olfactory nerve, and was just a fraction from the gustatory nerve. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. Albuquerque told 9 News he could have been blinded and could have lost his senses of smell and taste, but none of that happened, and he's alive and healthy. Wow. And they have they got a bunch of crazy stuff here on Huffington Post. I mean, just unbelievable photos. This isn't even the first. There's a bunch of crazy. Spear in a man's head. Dog swallows wedding ring, you know, blow dart in the neck. Oh man, it's what? I'm not even going to talk about some. Man, you got to see this for yourself. I can't even say this over the air. So, anyway, that's definitely outrageous in my book. It's amazing what you can find just on the cuff. I didn't even think I was going to have time to do a short little snippet of news here, but as the tracks the type O negative tracks still try to process, which they aren't. The loading bars have stayed exactly the same, completely stagnant for the last, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes. Rock Blues, the news show. Jason D'Amico here, Classic Rock, Classic Blues, and Outrageous News. Running out of time. This hour goes by pretty fast, I must say. At times I realize, I look at the clock and realize what time it is. I think probably at some point we might extend. I'm not sure. A song here to kind of take us out. This is by The Police, and it's a really, really cool song. It's cool because the time signature, I don't know if it changes, but the placement of the backbeat changes. You can hear it, and it really isn't a backbeat. There's a lot of breaks. Stuart Copeland for years when I was younger, especially in my drumming days. Just loved Stuart Copeland and just loved the group and what they did. And got a chance to see them live on their tour in 2007-2008. And I remember my dad and I rented a Hummer for driving down. The concert was in Charlotte or Greensboro. No, it was Charlotte because this is where the Bobcats played. Drove down, and I'll never forget, we were driving, and this mattress just, driving 70 miles an hour on the interstate, and the mattress just fell off of this guy's truck, apparently, on I-40. We didn't see it fall off the truck, but it was in the middle of the road. And, I didn't have my license at the time. I was in the passenger seat. I think I was like 13 or 14, and Dad swerved and missed the mattress. And the Hummer just handled like a champ. It was amazing because those vehicles are so high off the ground, and they weigh a ton. So I think it was an H2. It definitely wasn't an H1. Or maybe it was either an H2 or an H3. But nonetheless, here we go. The Police. The song is called Hole in My Life off of Regatta the Block, the first, no, wait a minute, Atlantis the Amour, the first Police record. Jason D'Amico here signing off. Once again, 1,000 apologies for all the all the technical difficulties tonight. Anyway. Peter Steele's birthday was today, obviously, as we talked about earlier. I'm so disappointed that we were not able to celebrate that to such a larger extent, but that's what happens here. So stay tuned for the last 5 minutes here, The Police, Hole in My Life. We'll catch you guys later. Jason D'Amico here, The Rock Blues News Show, Classic Rock, Classic Blues, and Outrageous News. We'll see you guys later. Have a great night.